Bob Craig, we're here to talk about Count Basie, one of the big names in big band music in the 20th century.
Yeah, and even beyond.
And beyond.
Yes.
He was born in Red Bank, New Jersey, played in vaudeville, I understand, moved to New York City, and then to Kansas. Was there any particular experience or song that launched his career?
Well, before Basie actually became Basie, he was with Benny Moten's band. And Benny Moten passed away, oh, I guess it was around 1935 or 36. Basie took over the band, and he named it the Barons of Rhythm. And Basie had this kind of stride piano playing that he did before he got into a real groove of swing. So eventually he did move in that direction. But, you know, Basie was like a magnet. He was like a magnet for musicians. He knew exactly the kind of sound he wanted to put together for his first band in the late 30s. It was called the Old Testament Band, as time went on, the Old Testament Band. And he brought in people like Harry Sweets Edison and Buck Clayton, and he had Lester Young, a very influential saxophonist, and just several other guys who were real standouts in the early era of jazz into the 30s and into the 1940s. As the 40s went on, the Basie Band began to develop, and he was beginning to garner this big following. People just really kind of liked his sound. So it was a combination of swing. Basie was getting away from the stride piano, and he was forming a real good band.
And he was out in Kansas City when a lot of his early breaks happened. Was there anything geographical about his music?
Well, Kansas City had a nice blues image about it. It was a Kansas City sound, and there were a lot of great blues musicians that came out of that town. And Basie didn't really hang out there much longer than when he started putting that band together in the late 1930s. He wound up in New York, and that was pretty much his home base in the later years, 40s, 50s.
So what was Count Basie's band particularly known for?
I would say swing. Really, you know, Basie was asked one time on the show 60 Minutes, I think this was back in the 70s or 80s, and they said, Count, describe your sound. What's the Basie sound? And he said, all you have to do is tap your foot. And that was the Basie sound. He just built everything on there. And he was one of the few guys that led a band. You could tell the Basie sound just by his piano on one note. Just the way he hit that one note, and he was so cool at the piano that he had such control over that band without being hyper. He was just so cool sitting there at the piano and pointing to the guys in the band to play, and they would do their solos. It was a phenomenon. I always say the Basie Band was the eighth wonder of the world.
So are there particular songs that illustrate his distinctive sound? His first big hit was 1 o'clock Jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, around 1936, 37. That really launched the Basie Band on its own. And it stayed in the Basie Band book forever. And he changed the arrangements in the later years to it. It had a little more swing to it in the 60s. I think it was late 50s, early 60s, that he employed a whole new arrangement of it. As a matter of fact, when Sinatra was with him at the Sands Hotel, they broke with the band every so often. They would break into 1 o'clock Jump, and it was that new arrangement. What really cooked the arrangement was just a real swinging arrangement of 1 o'clock Jump. So it stayed with him to the end. It was always there. It was his theme.
Was the rhythm the thing when that song first came out?
Probably, but you know, the Basie Band as we know it today, the Basie Band was the New Testament band. That was the one where Basie really, really built the sound. It was starting to formulate, strangely enough, in an era where big bands weren't called for anymore. A lot of the great big band leaders of the 1940s, they were trimming back their bands, and they were doing like little big bands. There would be 8 or 10 guys in a group. For either economic reasons or people just weren't not into the big bands. But the guys like Stan Kenton, like Duke Ellington, like Basie, these guys never wanted to let a big band go away. They loved fronting and arranging and working with a big band. So Basie put together this band, which wound up calling the New Testament Band, around 1953, when he was getting new personnel. He was bringing in guys like Frank Foster and Frank West, the two Franks. They were saxophone players. And Frank Foster not only was a terrific sax man, but he also contributed arranging and songwriting. He was the one who wrote Shiny Stockings, which became a staple in the Basie band book and went on to be one of the all-time great, not only big band classics, but also a jazz classic that so many musicians have done. So the Basie band was really flying. They had a phenomenal hit with April in Paris in 1955. You talk about one of going in the opposite direction of what big bands were not supposed to be doing, and that was being around in the 1950s. Here was Basie having himself a solid hit record with April in Paris. And then Shiny Stockings came along, and all of a sudden, big bands were reemerging again. So Basie really gave it a good shot in the arm.
So what's his legacy?
I guess his legacy, first of all, would be the longevity of that band and the changes it went through without losing its identity. They did some poppy things in the 1960s. Basie even did a Beatle album. He did an album, actually, believe this or not, it's a very rare album and not too many people know about it. He did an album of James Bond music, of all things, when Goldfinger was hot in the mid-60s and beyond. He did a couple of Beatle albums. He did small group things, too, in the later years when he linked up with Norman Granz's Pablo jazz label. You would have Basie and even Oscar Peterson together, the two of them, just together on an album. He would have some of the soloists that he had through the years do an album with him. So he trimmed down. Sometimes it would be a trio, a quartet. He even did something that harkened back to the Kansas City days, where he had an album, the Kansas City Eight, I think it was, eight musicians playing somewhat a song somewhat associated with Kansas City. So, and Basie even played the organ on several occasions. He was known to play the organ in even some of the big bands that he had. He would divert from the piano and play the organ, not necessarily known as an organist, but Basie at the piano really was well-defined.
He also was playing with Billie Holiday, and Chick Webb was playing with Ella Fitzgerald. And I guess they all played with all of these soloists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that was very popular at the time to have these jam sessions that were going on in the clubs, in the dance halls. And Basie never actually recorded with Billie Holiday on record in the studio. They did some radio broadcasts together in the 30s, which are still available and still around today. But that really wasn't the big vocalist of the Basie band was Joe Williams. And Jimmy Rushing before that, Jimmy in the late 1930s. But it was Joe Williams that really made his mark with the Basie band right around that time, again, in the mid-50s when the band exploded with April in Paris and Shiny Stockings. And then Joe Williams come along with Every Day I Have the Blues, something he did 5 or 6 years earlier, but with a Basie band, it was electric.
Wow. So he had a lot of persistence and resilience that enabled him to keep going when others had stopped.
Well, resilience is a great word. I mean, it's part of the legacy of the Basie band. It was, like I said, the eighth wonder of the world. It's just a phenomenon in big band. You know, there are three bands that were the three most influential bands ever in the history of jazz. One was Basie, Ellington was the other, and Stan Kenton. These bands were emulated, they were admired. They had a phenomenal catalog. They played for years and years. Basie, Ellington, and Kenton, those guys just set the pace.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.